When was Jesus really born? Here it is. The book of Ezra. And that's not the date. It's just for you to get this. And they went up, some of the children. Ezra 7. Read, Pastor. Ezra 7, verse number 7.
Yes, sir. Ezra 7 from verse 7.
Mm-hmm.
And there went up some of the children of Israel, and of the priests,
and the Levites, and the singers, and the porters, and the Netinims,
unto Jerusalem
in the seventh year
of Artaxerxes the king.
Now watch this now.
Yes,
it mentions the year and the king. Then verse number 8 says, and he came to Jerusalem in the fifth month, which was the seventh year of the king. So it's giving you specific time of a certain happening. Then when you get to Esther 3, verse number 7, in the first month, then it says, forget it. Let's tell you what the month is. It's the month of Nisan. Watch this. In the 12th year of King Ahasuerus. So if you notice the way the Bible writes things, it gives you the exact dates and months of some things. But how is it that God forgot to put the month and date of his own son's birth? Yet the type of writing in the Bible, in the biblical text, is actually to give you the first, the month, the dates, the king who was ruling, in what year he was ruling. But when it came to his only begotten son, it seems as if there is a memory lapse on God, and God decides, this one, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Wait a minute. When? Nobody says. Seems as if the Bible is intentionally silent when it comes to the birth of Jesus. Number one, which is the main point I'm going to give you, I've got many reasons, but number one is because when it comes to Jesus, all right, let me give you two. Number one, when it comes to Jesus, Jesus, God himself, wants you to concentrate on the theology of Jesus. Not on the text when it comes to the deaths of when he came, but the theology. Because if we are given the debt, we concentrate on the debt. This is what is happening right now. Some people only celebrate Jesus on Christmas. Why? Because somebody gave us 25 December. So the question you may ask me is, was he born on the 25th of December? Not even close. It's a no. And there is no joke about it. It's no. I don't know if you're getting this.
Come on, let's go.
Now, so now when we deal with that fact, we realize that if God would mention other deaths and cause authors to write other deaths, this is the key third year of King Ahasuerus, the seventh month when it comes to Ezra, and he keeps on kind of remembering deaths and times, and kings that were ruling at that time, when it comes to the son of his, to the birth of his only son, not only son, his only begotten son, dead quiet. Memory lapse. The Bible doesn't want you to concentrate on it. Why? It wants you to concentrate on the theology. Number two is because when you look at John, it says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When you look at Revelation, it tells you who the Word is, and it's Jesus. So it's telling you Jesus should not have a date of birth because he is God. Now, but anyway, I have to actually tell you when he was born anyway. Because tracing when he was born will tell us when he died and will tell us when he's coming back. Now, so many people who are watching now say, but the Bible says nobody knows the day, nobody knows the day, the hour. It tells you that for you, I will not come as a thief.
That's right.
I want you to watch because you are not children of the darkness. That's what the Bible tells us. That means there are two people he's communicating to. The ones who are not born again and the ones who are born again. So the ones who are not born again, he's telling them, I'll come to you as a thief. But as for you who are born again, I will not come as a thief, and it will not catch you by surprise. So we know for sure there are two audiences that he's dealing with. So you need to read the Bible knowing who is being told. We'll never know. All right. So let's go to the book of Luke chapter number 2. I'll read Luke chapter number 2, and I like verse number 6 and 7. Verse number 6 and 7 that we're already starting, and I'm excited to see a lot of people. all right, and some of the comments are very funny. So what's this now? Are you there? Are you excited to be here? Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And our studio has a few people because it's not a studio today. It's my office. So it's not the same as having a studio with a lot of people in there. So I want you to see something here. Luke chapter number 2, 6 and 7. There is actually the month Jesus was born right there. And she brought forth their firstborn. Let's go verse number 6, Pastor Ronnie.
Yes, sir. Verse 6. And so it was.
Uh-huh.
That while they were there, mm-hmm. the days were accomplished that she should be delivered.
So we know this is not the day she got pregnant. It is the day she was supposed to be delivered, to deliver the child.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Verse 7. And
she brought forth her firstborn son
mm-hmm. and wrapped him in swaddling clothes mm-hmm. and laid him in a manger.
Yes.
Because there was no room for them in the inn.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 8. And they were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night.
That's it. Done. It has already told us what month it is. Just by that statement, it has told us what month it is. And I understand what people think when they hear this. They say, okay, it should be December because shepherds were out. No, you missed it. It said they were keeping the watch over their sheep at night. Mm-hmm. That only happened in Israel during what is called the lambing season. Mm. Now, here is where we go deeper. Because lambs are not like people. Sheep are not like people. They only give birth one time only per year. Oh. All of them.
Come on.
Wow. Yeah, I know they're missing it. It's not like somebody said, my date of birth is June. My month of birth is June. My month of birth is February. No. Sheep have got one season to give birth. Mm. And it's spring. That means between March and April. Done. So the shepherds will actually keep watch over their sheep at night just in case they give birth. And guess what? They deliver their young ones rather, but I'm using give birth here for a purpose that you will see later. They deliver their young ones and their safety because the shepherds are there. Otherwise they're never shepherding their sheep during nights. No. Only happens at night because it's a lambing season. So it's definitely March to April. And we're going to zero in on the actual date. So now just imagine that God goes immediately to who? To the shepherds. Why? Because that's the day he is also delivering his own lamb. Oh. So to God is a lambing season. To the shepherds is a lambing season.
Wow.
I know you are not getting me. I know you are not getting me. So. I don't know if they're getting this. I want you to get it.
I need to read my Bible different.
People are going, I'm seeing a lot of people. Some people are learning. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. People are, thank you. Thank you.
And Solomon Gumunyu says it's getting interesting.
So are you getting this?
Sir.
I'm seeing people. Oh, la to zikre dubale, non krekira anktavados. It's happening. I'm telling you. I can see a lot.
Charles
excited.
Thomas says, my father who speaks the Sophia that convinces even when you are ignorant to be convinced. Indeed, sheep are seasonal breeders.
Exactly. They are seasonal breeders. So it's just amazing. You know, it's just amazing. Now, watch this. Are you there? Some people are getting it. Are they getting this part yet? Before,
yes,
are they getting this part? Because we don't want to move to another level without you getting into really what we are talking about.
Uh-huh. They are getting it. Christopher says, my prophet, you've just blown this open wide.
So theologians would think, weather changes and stuff like that. They do not concentrate on lambing season. They do not, because they're not farmers. They have no idea what happens. They are not in animal husbandry, so they don't really know. If you go to Israel, and we go with my wife twice every year. In December, it's cold, like you can never go out. It's cold. Besides, it's not lambing season.
Come on.
Sheep are not like human beings. Now, it's also in Bethlehem where it happens. So you say, but so what does it have to do with anything in Bethlehem? Bethlehem is because that's exactly where all the lambs, watch this, all the lambs are kept when they are for the sacrifice for temple, for use for the temple. They're kept in Bethlehem. So you wonder why Jesus would actually move from the city, Jerusalem, go out and go to Bethlehem. Why there is supposed to be a census to move somebody from there to go to where he should be born. He should be born in a location where there is what? The lambs for the sacrifice are kept. Wow. So God is making a typing shadow of what he does in the temple. Exactly the same thing. I don't know if you're getting this. And so many people say, oh, but you know, some people have got this mentality that, oh, it should happen during the Feast of Tabernacles because the Feast of God was tabernacling with us. Big difference. When you're talking about tabernacling, you're talking about God getting into a woman. Uh-huh. Conceiving. Big difference to birth. Number two, it's not possible for that to be so because during the Feast of Tabernacles, it is one of those feasts that every male should be in Jerusalem at that time. You can't go anywhere. No male is allowed to go anywhere by law. So there is no way God would be breaking his own law, for God does not break his own word. All right. So you see that. So it's not going to be Feast of Tabernacles. All right. I don't know if they're getting it. I think. Exodus 12 verse number 3. I want to show you some clue, another clue. And we haven't given you the date yet. We've just given you the parameters and the time, kind of the month, like April, March, you know, but you haven't gotten there yet. Let's go. Exodus 12, verse number 3.
Verse number 3. Mm-hmm. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, mm-hmm. saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, mm-hmm. according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for in house.
And that's a Passover. And Passover happens to be the 10th of Nisan, which is the 10th of March. That is, which is the 30th of March. All right. Nisan starts March 20. Okay. So we have a Passover time. Watch this. Passover, that's the time they need to kill the lamb, to slaughter, to sacrifice the lamb. Watch this. And it says the sheep for the lamb that should be sacrificed. We know Jesus died during Passover. There's nobody who asks that, who questions that. Okay. That's why you have got Easter kind of figured out where Easter is. But they are missing what Exodus is saying. Exodus is saying this lamb that should be killed, that an acceptable lamb for the sacrifice should be slaughtered during the time of Passover, which is March. Guess what? To April. Maybe they're missing it. And it has to be exactly 1 year. That means the same month that it is born is the same month it dies. I don't think missed that. They still. I know some people miss that. I don't know whether you. I'm thinking they missed it. I think they missed it. Didn't they miss it?
Happy Days on YouTube be saying, so who came up with December?
We're going to deal with that part. Are you getting it?
Yes.
Are you getting it?
Tandy Jr. says, I'm grateful to zoom into the birth of my Savior. It's time we are exposed to the correct information. I enjoyed the depth of this teaching.
All right. Come here. Come back. Now, watch this. The physical reflection of the spiritual amazing is spiritual. Okay. Thank you so much. So is December coming from? Don't worry about it. We're going to go there. And it'll be exciting to go there. And we should still, I'll give you the reason why we should celebrate 25 December, not another date after this. All right. So relax for now. So some people are like, so we're not going to celebrate 25 December. Very important. I'll show you why. Very important, more than even the dates. All right. So watch this. So it's written there in Exodus that the lamb for Passover. Remember, John is baptizing Jesus. Watch this. And it says, behold the lamb. He's baptizing people. He says, behold the lamb, which taketh away the sins of the world. In that moment, if you look at the date, he's saying that. That is more or less the time when they were taking the sheep to prepare them. Watch this. To prepare them for what? For slaughter. For sacrifice. So John is literally saying, those lamps you see going around, the lamp you are seeing going around, all these people dragging that lamp going for the sacrifice. Don't worry. The real lamp is this one. So he says, behold the lamb, that taketh away. This one covers the sins of the world. But this one that I'm going to baptize takes away. So he's trying to tell people this is the correct lamb. So the correct, this lamp you're seeing is a typing shadow of the real one.
Hallelujah.
So this one will copy exactly this one. And it used to be 1 year old. Now here you're missing this. Now you're missing this. So he's taking that lamp, 1 year old. It has to die the month it was born. So we know for sure Jesus died the same day, the same month. Easter is the same time he died, is the same day he was born.
Wow.
No, you didn't get this.
Yes.
Yeah, you. I need to wait to just see. All right, thank you so much. Thank you so much. People are really getting something.
Mumbra says, wow, learning deep revelations here.
Somebody says I should repeat. I don't know why. Same day, Passover,
mm-hmm.
is the same day Jesus should be sacrificed. He's sacrificed there, he should be born the same time. Why? Because the lamb died on the same in the same month that it was born. So it says 1 year old. If it was, I don't know whether it's easy to understand, right? If something is 1 year old, the day it dies, it means it actually was born the... They're getting it. Some people are getting it. I don't know whether they're getting it.
Yes, sir.
So Messiah's birth should be the Messiah's death.
Come on. Yes, that's right.
Okay. People are getting it.
So Leko says, this is really making sense. Talk about master's degree in minutes. I'm privileged to know you, sir.
So now, remember what I said. I'm going to explain to you why it's more important to celebrate on the 25th of December more than March.
Come on.
I'm going to show you why it's important. It is important to God. It should be important to you. Hope they are getting this. How they are getting this?
On Atom Gram, dear says it makes sense for his lamb to be born with other lambs.
Exactly. Now, I want you to go just a small break and see what we are doing around the world. Just a small clip of our charity organization, and we come back here, please. Just a small clip. Just a small clip. Don't go anywhere. Be back right here. Don't go anywhere, and we carry on when we come back.
Hello, this is Pastor Felix Angel, the representative of the Hubert Angel Foundation here in Zimbabwe and in Southern Africa. The Hubert Angel Foundation and Prophet Hubert Angel, they are doing an amazing job. And today we are in Hurungwe, Mashonaland West Province in Zimbabwe. And this area was formerly like the breadbasket of this country. But this area has been suffering due to inconsistent rainfall patterns. That is why the people have not been getting enough harvest. That is why Prophet Hubert Angel has seen it fit to come here and assist the people. The man of God is doing an amazing job, week in and week out. Consistent commitment, love, and generosity. Thank you so much, Prophet Hubert Angel, and all the Hubert Angel Foundation financial partners. We are working hand in hand with our local leaders, the MPs, the governors, and our president to make sure that we try to alleviate the poverty, the drought, and all the crises which the people are facing. Thank you so much. May God bless you.
Thank you very much. My name is Honorable Ability Gandawa. I'm the Member of Parliament for Hurungwe North Constituency, about 8 kilometers out of Karoi Town. I'm really grateful for the support that we're getting from Hubert Angel Foundation. Our people are really desperate for food, and the gesture that we got today, I just pray that it continues like this for the good of our people, for all the supporters who are supporting the foundation in terms of financial resources. I just but plead with you to continue supporting this foundation for the good work that you're currently doing, and this blessing must not only come to me as a person or me as a constituency, but to all the Zimbabweans who are living today under poverty or who are constrained in terms of resources. So thank you very much to Hubert Angel Foundation. Thank you very much.
Hello, it's amazing. I'm now handing over the parcel from Prophet Hubert Angel and Beth Angel Foundation team to Chief Shumbaya Onda, who hold the chieftainship of the whole area of Kapiri. It's amazing that even the chief himself, he said, I'm now an elder of Spirit Embassy, and as the pastor in Zimbabwe, I've approved, we now have Chief Shumbaya Onda as the elder for Spirit Embassy in Zimbabwe. Thank you.
And there you have it, folks. This is the people of Lumumba testifying of the love of God that has been shown to them through the hand of Prophet Shumbaya Onda and the Lumumba Angel Foundation Financial Partner. Thank you so much, sir, for showing the world what true Christianity really is all about.
Thank you so much. Welcome back. Welcome back. And it's exciting that we have you guys and you didn't go anywhere. That's very exciting because sometimes you tell people, well, I'll be right back. And people be like, okay, let me do whatever I need to do. But it's exciting that you guys are here and are excited. And listen, it's not the Feast of Tabernacles. Forget it. It's not. I've already told you the reasons why it's not so. And if you understand Jews, you would understand it couldn't be so. All right. But of course, people who do these things are more like theologians from America, from other countries that have not actually gone in the culture of the Jews. And we go to Israel twice every year just to learn some few things, talk to rabbis, just seeing some things the way they see things. All right. And it's very, very important. I want you to see something here. I want you to see something. That God sent his own son during lamping season. And the first people to really hear the news are the what? The shepherds. They are not hearing of a pregnancy. They are hearing of a birth.
That's right.
See? So just imagine what God... See, have you ever asked yourself, why was God showing shepherds? Because for him, that's a lambing system. That's God giving birth to a lamb. His own lamb has just arrived. At the same time, the shepherds are actually taking care of their own lambs, okay? That's exactly what happened. Now, I want you to go to Exodus 12, 3, 6. And of course, for those who are not watching, we dealt with Exodus 12, verse number 3. And when we're dealing with Exodus 12, verse number 3, we're dealing with the issue that the lamb dies on the same day, on the same month, rather, it was born. That's very, very important. It's just a clue that people don't really think about. They are being told a Passover lamb dies on the day, on the month rather, it was born. They are being told clearly by Exodus 12, verse number 3. So Jesus has to die on the same day he was born, on the same month he was born for, so to speak. All right. I want you to see, all right.
Exodus 12, 6. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening.
Yes.
Verse 7. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. Verse 8.
So they are being told, you are going to take a lamb to your house. So just imagine the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. Is God bringing his own lamb home?
Wow.
Remember what he told his disciples? It is not good for a prophet to die outside Jerusalem. That's the prophecy. He knows already how to fulfill that prophecy. And he knows I'm a lamb that should be sacrificed and I need to go home. So imagine God dragging his own lamb into his own house. At the same time, Jews are dragging their own lambs for sacrifice into their own house. God is really copying everything he said before. When he's dealing with the original lamb, he's trying to say, look at him. He's exactly doing what I said should be done. He's following the rules and the regulations of the law. He is following the tenets of the law when it comes to the lamb. You are preparing your own lambs. I'm preparing mine. That's what God is doing. So people don't get this. See, and I want to show you something. Every major occurrence in Jesus' life is following the feasts of Israel. And I don't want to go into detail about that because I've got a lot to share with you. Maybe we're going to have part two. Never know, where I answer your questions, because so many people are like, they've been told, a feast of trumpets, feast of tabernacles and stuff like that. Nice. That's very nice. But I'm giving you what the scriptures are saying right here. All right. I'm not trying to feed anything. I'm just telling you. If you look at let's say the Palm Sunday, we know for sure what the Palm Sunday is. It is actually the first commandment given for them to keep when it comes to the Palm Sunday. And it is the entry of Jesus. What is he doing on that time? Jesus, God, is dragging his own lamp in there. When you deal with the first fruits, that's exactly the time we raise our fruits that we've gotten from the harvest to God. That's exactly the same time we're actually getting Jesus up as an offering to God. And it happens at the same season, same spring season. All right. Now, I want to see if people are getting it.
It's amazing. Danisa Glovo says, Holy Ghost is telling us what the truth about Christ's death and birth of Jesus.
Amen, amen,
we're hearing
amen.
From the Holy Ghost right now.
Amen, amen, amen. And if you look at the death, 3 days death, then you look at the rising of Jesus Christ. His rising is actually happens first fruits. It ended the first fruit season.
Wow.
Why is first fruits? Because now we are lifting. He's now lifted.
Wow.
All right. Yeah,
and
yeah.
Laura on Atumgam mm-hmm. says, but now I made it myself because I've come across most of those verses you mentioned, and I suppose I should say that I didn't connect them as well as I thought.
And when we deal with, funny part is, when we deal with things like Pentecost, what about Pentecost? Pentecost is not Christian. It's Judaism. Now you say, no, they are Pentecostal. I'm not a Pentecostal. You're not a Pentecostal. You might even claim you're a Pentecostal. You might even fill in a form that says you're a Pentecostal. You are lying to yourself. You're not a Pentecostal. It is a Jewish feast called Shavuot. It is Shavuot, if you want to kind of pronounce it the way they do it. But reality is, it's not yours. No Christian is a Pentecostal. Pentecost comes from the word Pente, 50. All right? Let me deal with that for a while before I get into what you think are we dealing with. Now, imagine that the people in the upper room will receive the unction of the Holy Ghost when the Holy Ghost fell on them and set on them like tongues of fire. Notice this. Listen carefully. You are not a Pentecost. I don't care what you tell yourself. You are not one. They were in the upper room, 120. Were you there? No. Now, those who were 120 in the upper room received the Holy Ghost. Watch this. And the ones who were not in the upper room, who were downstairs, who were outside, out and about, were the ones who came from all corners of the world to celebrate Pentecost. So the Pentecostals are the ones not in the upper room. The ones who receive the Holy Ghost are not Pentecostals. The Pentecostals came to celebrate Pentecost. They are not the 120 in the upper room. It's like being born again during a gay parade.
Come on.
And you call yourself a gay parader. No. The Pentecostals are the Jews that were not in the upper room. You are not a Pentecostal. No matter how you want to be a Pentecostal, you are not one. No matter how your pastor has told you, your prophet, your bishop, your apostle, you are not Pentecostal. Pentecostals did not receive the Holy Ghost. People, when they hear Pentecost, they hear Holy Ghost in that statement. No. No, 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 no. Go and wait for me until you receive power from on high, the Holy Ghost will come on you. Where? When you are in the upper room, the ones downstairs, the ones who said, how come we hear these people speaking in our own language? Where the Pentecostals? They were not born again. All right. So, I can see some people are getting it. Yeah. don't read some of these people that are saying, we have Pentecostal here.
Tony on the autogram says, there you have it. This year I'm not celebrating Jesus' birthday on 25th December.
That's where the problem is, because you didn't listen. I said what? There is more reason to celebrate on 25th than any other date. Don't even celebrate on March. You are messing up. 25th will be the best location too, and I'll show you why. All right? What a shame, I've been referring to myself, says Sophia, as a Pentecostal. Thank you. Somebody says, no, we are not Pentecostal. This is not a disappointment. Success says, I get it now, I'm not Pentecostal.
We are not Pentecostal. Okay, so Calvin says, so that means no need for Pentecost Day celebration.
So, it's still a celebration of the Jews. You can celebrate it, that is on the day of this, but to call yourself a Pentecostal now, it's a problem. Remember, some of us don't need to celebrate on Christmas only. We celebrate on all the days we are celebrating Jesus. All right? Jesus should not be, it's like Black History Month. That's an insult to black people, or whatever you call black people, because I've never seen a black person. People of color. That's a very, very big insult. That white people don't have, whatever they call white, because I've never seen a white person. Whatever they call white people, they do not have any month that they celebrate. It's their history month. Now you really get my race to 1 month. Out of 12 months, you give me 30 days to celebrate me. Where is the Jewish month? Where is the Mexican month? Why do we have Black month? Black History Month. Why? Why put history of people, millions that died, genocide taking place because of this slavery? Why relegate it to only 30 days? You are joking. There is a problem right there. Just a pat on the back so that you don't address your problems. And you don't fix your responsibilities. See? That's a problem. So when you say you are Pentecostal, that's where it's wrong. I did not say don't celebrate. Yeah, celebrate. All right, people are getting it. Some people are getting it.
Yes, sir. Original BB Junior says, those who attended the Feast of Pentecost are the Pentecostals. They were not in the upper room. Thank you, Dad.
Thank you so much. Atherton Wisdom is saying, 25th is the day because the professor will give you the reason why. Just wait until we get to those reasons. Please, wait. We need to celebrate 25th more than any time of the year. Look at us. We're actually going out there with Huber Angel Foundation, Prophetess BB Angel being the patron, is going out there giving toys to people. I'm talking about all countries. All the countries where we are situated, they are doing so under her leadership. Why? Why are we so fixated on celebrating Christmas on the 25th when I'm here telling you it's not the 25th? The reason is following. All right.
Cindy Indogo on YouTube here says, Google says Pentecost. Pentecostal Christian is someone who believes in the manifestations of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's what they also believe. They think inside the word Pentecostal, because so many people don't know what Pentecost means. It means 50. Pentagon, 5. Penta, 5. That's all it means. It's a number. It has nothing to do with spiritual things. All right? If your pastor is Pastor Guguru, you are in trouble. I like that. I like that. So if we're dealing with when Jesus was crucified, was prepared as a lamb, it has to be the month of Nisan. And the month of Nisan starts March 20. And why is it month of Nisan? Because month of Nisan is the first month. I understand what people do, what people have. They have all this problem that, I think Rosh Hashanah is the actual year. Yeah, it's the beginning, it's the head of the year. But to God, the first month is Nisan. He actually tells them that the month of Nisan shall be the first month to you. He tells them. He tells them that I'm now changing. It's right there in the Bible, I'm now changing the month of Nisan. So it's not Rosh Hashanah. And notice this. When we're dealing with the month of Nisan, we're dealing with the beginning of everything. God sent his son. But before he did that, he said, we are now changing. You're now going to the month of Nisan, which is March 20, starting March 20. Now, what changed? We changed from BC to AD. Now BC, AD. That means God's birthday changed the calendar. So he says, the one who is coming is the beginner. He will change the calendar.
Wow.
So we started changing the calendar. The word month comes from the word moon. Moon. That's it. That's where it comes from. I don't know if they're getting this. That's where it comes from the word month. I want you to see something, all right? That means is following the moon. There were people who were following the moon. There were people who were following the stars. Okay? Isaiah 60. Go to Isaiah 60. Verse number 1 to 6. I want you to see something. I want you to see something. I want you to see something. Some people are getting
Isaiah 60, mm-hmm. verse number 1.
Mm-hmm.
Arise, mm-hmm. shine, for thy light is come, mm-hmm. and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Verse 2.
Mm-hmm.
For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee.
Yeah.
Verse 3. Mm-hmm. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light.
It says arise, shine. It didn't say arise and shine. Arise, shine. While there is a revelation there, but this scripture is not talking about what we preach about and say, arise, shine. It means you shall rise, shine. That's nice. But this is the prophet speaking, and I'm a prophet speaking too. So the Bible used to say, when a prophet speaks, when a prophet speaks, let another interpret. Do you notice the person who is allowed to interpret a prophet is a prophet? Let's read. Let me interpret, my brother.
This one, arise, shine, mm-hmm. for thy light is come.
The light is come. There is a star somewhere. Mm-hmm.
And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee.
What you see there is actually a sign that the glory has risen. Let's go.
Verse 2. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth,
mm-hmm.
and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen.
Notice what the Bible says. It says, even his hometown has seen a great light. Meaning, say they were in darkness. And they, that's New Testament. This is old. Let's go.
Verse 3. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy
light. That means they are going to be visitors that will come when the moon is there. We know Jesus died during full moon. They didn't get that. So we can simply go back and find the full moon at that time. And the records are still there. Now, hear this. Now, look at what it says. Keep going.
Verse 4. Lift up thine eyes round about and see.
Mm-hmm.
All they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar.
Notice, it gives you a prophecy that there are Gentiles who are going to come to see the king. They're going to come. What are they following? Rise and shine. The light. They will follow a light. All right, let's go.
Yes, sir. Thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall be nest at thy side.
Then it says, but also there is a prophecy that you guys are going to be gathered together in one location when you are dispersed. So there is a prophecy that he is playing around with right now.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Verse 5. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged,
mm-hmm.
because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, and the
forces
of the Gentiles shall come
unto
thee.
Jesus. Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Verse 6. The multitude.
Listen, verse 6. The multitude. What are these Gentiles going to be like?
The multitude of camels shall cover thee.
They will be on camels. And there will be many camels. And remember, kings shall come to your eyes. Kings. The magis, all right, are kings.
The dromedaries of Midian.
Young camels. They'll bring young camels. Mm-hmm.
All they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold.
What are they
going to
bring?
Gold and
incense. And frankincense. That's gold and frankincense and myrrh. It's written in one verse that the magis are going to come to see the king. Isaiah is talking about Jesus.
Come on.
And it's telling you that the moon will be there. The stars will be at this position. Now watch this. I know you didn't get this. So most people don't really know that this year we are in, which is called 2020, is actually 2024. Why? Because our calendar starts on 0 BC. Jesus wasn't born 0 BC. He was born 4 BC. So when you get to 4 BC, 6 BC, there, that's the time scale, the years that we are dealing with. The year around that year, because we miss the calculations. It is a known fact. You can actually search it for even Brother Google knows. All right. That you know it's not 0 BC, but the counting of years went to 0 BC. That means if we were left with only 10 years for Jesus to come back, or for Jesus to say, I won't go beyond 10 years. That means we are actually left with 6. Because there are four-year difference there. All right, I did not say he's coming in 6 years' time. I'm just trying to show you that if you hear 10 years, if you hear 20 years, you have to subtract those four. Not add them, all right? So the time is a little bit tricky for those who are not ready. The time is a little bit tricky. Are you getting this or you're not getting this?
Mambre says, Dear Lord Jesus.
Now, I spoke of Ptolemy, or some people would want to call Ptolemy. This is an ancient astronomer who Max Lucado deals with when he's talking about the Copernicus, and it's called Not, I think it's Not About Us. I think the book is called Not About Us, Not About Us, which is very, very, very powerful. Mentioned something there where he's talking about how Copernicus came and all the boninos of the Polish accent and how he pointed to the, you know, how people in those days didn't take well to demotion, how there was a confusion between the astronomers where one would say the sun is the center of the universe, one would say the people are the center of the universe, stuff like that. So he mentioned this astronomer. But in his book, in a book called Tetrabibo, Ptolemy says something very, very important. Watch this. Hear this. I don't want you to miss this, all right? Because there is a convergence of Jupiter, Saturn, and Mars, and other, you know, and other stars. But in those days, astronomers were taken as scientists. They joined scientists, science, and also, you know, superstition. When I say superstition, I am talking about spiritual beliefs. I'm not saying fake things, spiritual beliefs. So in those days, they would look at Jupiter, wherever Jupiter is, and wherever the convergence is on the map, on the ground, is where they would say there is a king born. So they would look at stars and look at the positioning and look at the convergence and all the constellations and say, if there is Jupiter involved, there is a king. Now, here is what he wrote. The land of Judea. Watch this now. Of Israel. And this guy is not believing in Jesus or anything. Just remember this. He's just writing. All right. The land of Judea of Israel and its surrounding regions were linked to the constellation of Aries and Ram. And he mentions the time. And the time is exactly the same time, which is actually Nisan. So he's saying there was a star that shone. And Jupiter was part of it. And the king was supposed to be there. And it was called the land of Judea of Israel and surrounding regions saw that light. So we are here with an astronomer who actually saw, who actually is reporting that there was that constellation. And that constellation was above Judea. Where was Jesus born? So now we have signs supporting the time that the Bible is mentioning. All right, now some people are not getting this, right? And the funny part of it is that constellation only happens every 6,000 years. So it's not like it will happen next year. There is a solar eclipse and everyone goes out with their, goggles or whatever the nonsense is and go in there and try to be like, yeah, I'm going to take all my kids. This happens every 6,000 years. You don't find it here and there. And this man is dead on the time Jesus was born. Wow. He's not even talking about theology. He's just writing about astronomy. People are getting it. Now, some people are getting it.
Thank you, Prophet. Now, Rio on Atom Club says, how exciting to hear and learn more about the one who gave me salvation.
This amen, is the word. Amen, amen.
Can never be missed for anything. I thank God I get fed from the true vessel of God.
Amen, amen, amen. Now, watch this. Are you getting this now?
Yes, sir.
Here it is. It's just amazing. God is doing so much, and I love you guys that you are here. My head is reeling. So Christians celebrating Pentecost is like a girl participating in Bar Mitzvah. Thank you so much for that joke. Some people are like, what's Bar Mitzvah? You know, we would. Just know. That's funny. That's really funny.
From Prophet is saying, so technically, I'm 26, not 22.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right. funny people. Now, I want us to zero in on something. This thing happened in spring, March, April. This constellation. It is written. Astronomy records it. It wasn't like some funny star just moving. The whole body, the whole system responded. Look at when Jesus died. What happened? The whole solar system responded. Even the earth shook in terror. The moon was turned into blood. Look at it. The same thing when he was born. Something is happening to the bodies in the atmosphere. They are responding to it. It might not be the consolation for the 6,000. No, but it's a different response. People are getting it. So that's God's lamping season. All right. Luke 1, verse number 5 to 9. I want you to see something. Luke 1. And I'm about to finish.
Luke 1 from verse number 5. Mm-hmm. There was in the days of Herod,
yep,
the king of Judea, mm-hmm, a certain priest named Zacharias,
yep,
of the coast of Abia, and his wife of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Verse 6.
Now I want you to go back. Zechariah. Mm-hmm.
Verse 6. And they were both.
Verse number 5.
Verse number 5. There was in the days of Herod,
mm-hmm,
the king of Judea,
yep,
a certain priest named Zacharias,
yes,
of the coast of Abia.
Now you see that? That Abia is written in the book of First Chronicles. And that First Chronicles 24 is telling you when Abia is supposed to serve as a priest. The priests were given days and weeks where they serve in the temple. So the moment we can find where Zechariah was serving at that time, we can just add 6 months from then. And when you add 6 months from them, when we find what? We find when Elizabeth visited Mary. And then we add what again? 3 months, because Jesus was 6 months older. John was 6 months older than Jesus. Then we add 3 months and John is born. They didn't get it. Then we add a few months, then who is born? Jesus. So it's so easy the moment we tie in Zechariah and find exactly when he was serving. Because we know one thing. He was serving under the order of Abijah. And the order of Abijah is mentioned in Chronicles when it was serving. Let's read.
Verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea,
mm-hmm,
a certain priest named Zacharias of the coast of the order of Abijah. Uh-huh. And his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth.
Yes, and we know exactly he was from the eighth order. All right? Abijah was put under the eighth order. It's written in the book of Chronicles. And then we will deal with what the Talmud says, and we can kind of get the dates correctly. Right there, you'll be like, boom, on the dates. All right, some people are getting it. Let's go. It's going down. Yes, some people are really getting it. It's written. Somebody says it's written. Thank you so much. They're seeing it. All right. Thank you so much. People are really connecting from South Africa and Tonko Zunyaba. Thank you so much. Somebody says this is deep. Megan, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I don't know if they're getting it. Now, here is what the Dead Sea Scrolls say. You know the Dead Sea Scrolls, Shepherd was, we went there with, I think Pastor Bevan, we were there. We went to the Dead Sea, the place where they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. Qumran Caves. Yes, Qumran Caves. I was trying to find the name. Qumran Caves and with a whole team. I don't know how many we were, maybe 70 or 80. And we went there, Qumran Caves, to see what happened. In fact, we went to see the actual scrolls. All right. And the actual scrolls are not the ones displayed. Those ones are just, you know. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Those are just, they won't tell you unless you have somebody who can take you there. So I want you to see something. It actually, the Dead Sea Scrolls actually contains, watch this, the book of Isaiah.
That's right.
Like, it's like full vision. It's crazy. Even the things that other theologians were arguing that are never in the Bible, Isaiah was added, this, they are in there. Now watch this. One thing it contains that most theologians don't know. It actually contains the actually priestly calendar. And if you go through the year, you see, people think it repeats. It repeats after the year is full. It kind of, it doesn't go like, okay, this one, now let's go repeat. No, it keeps on going. It can go for years until it repeats itself. So you can start from there going like this for the years that followed. Going like this, going like this, going like this, until you go dead on when Zechariah was in the temple. Wow. You know, you're getting the point. I don't know if they're getting it. I don't know. Read verse number 5 again. Of Luke 1:5.
Verse number 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias.
Do you understand that? Exactly. In the division of what? Of Abia. Now we get to the Dead Sea Scrolls and they have a calendar. Boom. Right there. Now hear what it says. When the sun displays itself from the east and shine in the center of the sky, at the best of the vault, from the evening to the morning, on the fourth of the week of Gamul, in the first month of the year. Now, that was like, what if you just said? It simply means the equinox. It means when you get to the equinox, the beginning of the priestly calendar is right there. And the deaths are given of that priest who was there at that time. Then all you do is go forward until you get the eighth time where you get Zechariah. And when you get Zechariah, go forward. All right? Then here's what the Talmud said. I want to show you this. Equinox, Talmud. Now this, or what you call Talmud. The temple was destroyed 70 AD. This is the Talmud. And it gives us the name of the priest serving at that time. They didn't get it. The temple was destroyed 70 AD. And the Talmud actually gives us the time, the month, the date of the priest serving at that time. So if you get the seventh priest serving at that time, you know definitely, I got it wrong. Why? Because I need to add another week to get to when Abia is serving. Then if Abia is serving at this month, then guess what? I just add a few more months to get to the birth of, remember, this will be the first time the man is pregnant, the lady is pregnant. Then you put 9 months. All right? Remember, you put 9 months. And get what? John. So if John was 3 months difference, 6 months different to Jesus, you would just add 6 more months. And guess what? If you take the equinox written in the Dead Sea Scrolls and go forward, and you take the Talmud and go back dead on the same time. March 20. Wow. Wow. No, you didn't get that. Wow. They're missing it. I see you missing it. All right. So you take the equinox written in the Dead Sea Scrolls. All right. You wind it forward and you take the Talmud and wind it back. Boom. You get back to March. Wow. It's no, you can't fake it. It's just right there. So the priestly calendar leads us back to March. Wow. Now, before I go anywhere, some people are trading now, like, what are we talking about now?
But on YouTube says, I don't understand how people speak against this level of wisdom. Chef Angel is in the house.
Let me tell you something. Anybody who speaks against me, the Bible says it this way. Do not be excited when people speak well of you, for they speak well, or their fathers spoke well of the false prophets. So false prophets have people speaking well of them. All right.
They are getting it. Sandra Matambo says, this is mind boggling.
I can see it's a little bit. So Vatican, a priest called Hippolytus, all right? Hippolytus is the one who gave us the 25th. Now, I know right now you'd be like, okay, so why would somebody give us the 25th? It's very important that he gave us the 25th. But in the early writings, which is now expunged, not really expunged, so to speak, they're still there, the early writings. They're still there. The early writings of of these early fathers, and you know what he said? He said Jesus was born in March. Still written. He gave us, the guy who gave us the 25th is the guy who actually says, no, it was much. Nissan. I'm going to deal with something here. I don't know if they're getting this. Now, I want you to read Exodus 40, 1 and 2. Exodus 40, 1 and 2.
Exodus 40, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 2, on the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 3, and thou shalt put therein the ark of the testimony, and cover the ark with the veil. Verse 4.
No, go back. 1 and 2.
Verse number 1.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 2, on the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation.
Mm-hmm. Now I want you to see something. Maybe the first day of the what?
Of the first month.
Nisan. And if you want to go back and see how many months it took to finish the tabernacle, 9 months. And Jesus was tabernacling with us on earth. Watch this now. As a tent containing God. So it took 9 months for him to be established as the temple. Destroy this temple and I'll build it in 3 days. He called himself the temple. Because he what? He typified the temple. And now we are being told the temple took 9 months. And it entered on the first month of Nisan. Oh. So we know definitely the first day of Nisan is the day the temple is finished. The first day of Nisan is the day Jesus goes. Maybe they're not getting it. I want you to go to the book of Judges chapter number 6. And we start from verse number 21. And I'm about to finish, and I'm excited that you guys joined me today.
Verse 21. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes,
mm-hmm.
and there rose up fire.
So this is an angel, Miss Gideon, and Gideon is like, if you are the angel of the Lord, then prove it mm-hmm. that you are the angel of the Lord. And watch what the Bible says, and he brought meat and unleavened bread. How on earth do you prove somebody's an angel by bringing meat? The guy is bringing an offering to an angel, and an angel ate the offering. He put the stuff there, and the rock consumed the offering.
Wow.
You're not getting me. I'm not talking about the offering. But you got to hear this. You got to hear this. And consumed the offering. Notice. This guy should have been saying, false demons, how do you take my offering?
Come on.
Have you noticed people who take an offering, if they are men of God, they are called demonic?
Mm.
Now, Gideon thinks if to prove this angel is from God, I have to bring an offering. If he takes my offering, then it is from God. If it refuses, then it's not from God. Nah, he didn't hear me. That means demons don't take offerings. Anyway, let me just... And demons don't give offerings too. The man of God, in order to prove that this one is a man from God, he gave an offering. If you are strong enough to take my offering, you then are from God. So there is something about an offering that is so dangerous that when you release it to a person and they spend it wrongly, they are in guilt themselves, but you survive. Some people say, I gave him, he spent my money, I gave offerings. You don't know what you're talking about. This man says, I will prove to you, if you are a prophet, if you are an angel, I will give you the offering. If you leave it, I know you're not from God. Fire fled from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. Watch this. What did Gideon say? Oh, you took my offering, you're not from God. No, when Gideon realized that, he said it was the angel of the Lord. He exclaimed, Alas, sovereign Lord, I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face. You're not getting it. But the Lord said to him, peace, do not be afraid. You're not going to die. The angel took the offering. Watch this. So Gideon built an altar to the Lord. Watch this now. There encoded the Lord is peace. To this day it stands an offer of the Abiezrites. Now watch this now. The same night the Lord appeared to him. The same night the Lord came. take the second bull of your father's head, the one 7 years old, tear down your father's altar to Baal, and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. He said, cut it down. Take everything, the Asherah pole, take it. The altar where your father used to worship the devil. Remove it and replace it with mine. The pole that was there you were using, your father was using to save the devil. Cut it down and use it as wood for the altar. Now, you did, yeah, some people are getting it. Some people are getting it, some people are not. Now, are you there? Are you there? Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on top of this height. Same place, same mountain. Build it. So if they were worshipping the devil on the 25th of December, God is saying, put the same, use the same tactics I've given you. Same day, change it and worship me there. To show them I'm above whatever they worship on that day. So 25th of December was they were worshipping some pagan god. And we have taken over God's debt to him. We have taken over. Who created the death? God. Who created the month? God. But the devil tried to steal a day and we took over that debt. And don't worry about much. We are still celebrating his death. So we have taken the months back to God. Just exactly the way we are taking rap music back to God. What are we doing? We are making it born again. We are taking the music back to God. We are taking the death back to God. So the 25th is the best location to worship our Jesus there. Why? He created the debt. He created the time. He created the air for you to breathe. He created the food. He created the fields. He created the month. He created the stars. Everything that makes a debt, he made it. So we are taking over from the devil. Whatever the devil thought he had done to that day, we are taking it over and put it back. Look at what they try to do. They try to make it Xmas so they can remove Christ from the mass. Now, but it's Christmas. We know Jesus is Lord. So this is the day where we are contending. We are telling the devil, you can fight us. You can take this debt from us. We are taking it back. That's why it's so important to celebrate on the 25th. Not another day, but 25th. Because it was being used. That's what they try to do. The Western world tried to take it back and called it Xmas. Remove Christ from it. They said it will offend the Muslims. It will offend people. It will offend these ones. It will offend the people that don't worship. But guess what? Gideon was told, on the same location where your father was worshipping Baal, cut down the altar. On the 25th, remove everything that is being worshipped on that day. Because I don't want it. I want you to celebrate my son on that day. So when we are celebrating on the 25th, we're not celebrating the birth in the sense of birth, like this is the birth date. We are actually celebrating the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he came here and saved you and I. So it is no other day that's important. Christmas is important. Jesus is the reason for this season. We worship him not on the 25th. 25th, 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th, 31st, 1, 2, 3, and 2 another December. Worship him on every day. But for the world to see, we will not accept them taking our deaths. Putting them there. Imagine during Halloween season, if we celebrate the Holy Ghost during that time. They are celebrating demons. We are celebrating God. Do you understand what? That means we are not interested in your witchcraft. We fly by Holy Ghost, not by witchcraft. If we don't fly by Holy Ghost, we fly by Holy Ghost and jets, not by witchcraft. So we will use these deaths that they actually presented to the devil as our own deaths. That's it. That's why you should be doing that. Notice the people in the area, look at what happened. Said, so Gideon took 10 of his servants and did as the Lord told him. But because he was afraid of his family, he did it at night. And the townspeople, he did it at night. We're doing it openly. We are celebrating Jesus openly. Then the shops are following us. That's exactly what they need. Of course, they are in it for money. But we are in it for making Jesus famous. Once more. And will not let go of Christmas. Now, in the morning when the people of the town got up, they were Baal's altar demolished with the Asherah pole beside it, cut down, and the second bull sacrificed on the newly built altar. They said, who did it? And they discovered it was Gideon, son of Joash, who did it. Watch this. Watch this. The people of the town demanded Joash, bring out your son. He must die for what he has done. Gideon just came out and said, are you afraid? Are you trying to fight for Baal? Is Baal so weak that he needs you to fight for him? Let Baal fight for himself. That's why we don't kill anyone for saying anything against Jesus. Come on. He's strong enough to handle himself. You didn't hear that. And then they gave him a name. And the name simply was Jerubbaal. It means, let him contend with Baal. Let Baal contend with Gideon. The people who worshiped Baal said, if this man is strong enough to do this, let Baal, our God, contend with him. He said the right thing. And did he contend? No, Gideon succeeded. So that's exactly what we are doing. We have taken. Right now, you don't even know which God was being celebrated on Christmas. And I'm going to tell you, he was defeated. That's why not one name is mentioned right now. But if we let go of Christmas, the devil will use that day again to worship what he wanted to worship. So listen to me. Jesus was born on the 20th of March. But we celebrate him on the 25th of December. So should we celebrate on the 25th of December? 100%. Not another day. Should we change deaths? No. For what? March is still God's month. February is still God's month. April is still God's month. Any day is still God's month. But we celebrate his coming and saving us in our spirits. That's what we celebrate. And we give each other gifts. But remember, it is his birthday. But we're getting the gifts. We're giving each other gifts.